was wondering how knowledge links with faith, because yesterday you were saying according to the degree of faith you get a certain level of protection, and it may not be, or you're going for an operation, so you pray to the Lord and saying, you know, please protect me, and he may not protect you in the way you're expecting.
Yeah, he may not. He'll protect you in the way that's best for you, not in the way that you think is best for you.
And is that, is your level of faith determined by how much knowledge you have?
Yeah. Transcendental knowledge develops and helps deepen faith, because the more knowledge you have, the more reason you have to surrender to Krishna. It gives you reason for faith. And because faith should be reasonable, it shouldn't be blind. So for reasonable faith, you have to have knowledge. So just like we have arguments that give us faith in the existence of God. Actually, they're not arguments that are based on sensory perception or realization in the sense that transcendentalists can see or Arjuna could see, but because they're based on knowledge and because they're reasonable and logical, therefore the more we hear about those things, the more we know about those things, then the more our faith develops. Shushupo shabdanascha. The more someone hears, the more is one's shraddha, the more his faith grows. And therefore, knowledge is important, because knowledge helps us cultivate our faith. But Sri Sri Adhikaraya Nishta, this concept that just like a child, for a child to, for instance, understand an airplane, how an airplane works, he gets knowledge according to his level of maturity or development, according to his adhikar. When he's very young or when he's small, then his father says, yes, a pilot is flying the airplane, and it flies in the sky because jet or the engine propels it. How it propels it, what are the mechanics behind making such a thing work, and so on, a child can't understand. But when he studies different sciences, then he can know much better. Still, he has faith. He has faith according to the amount of knowledge that he has. And then as he becomes older and more learned, then his faith will become not only stronger, but based on his knowledge, it will be more realized. He'll understand under what conditions that plane flies, and when it doesn't, and what makes an engine work, and so many other things.
Isn't faith based on a lack of knowledge? Because you have to have faith in something that you don't really understand, and then once you understand it, you can leave faith behind.
No. Faith is always there. Faith is not just a lack of knowledge. Faith in Krishna is there. Faith, because what's the definition of faith? Shraddha Vishvas Shuddhidhanishchoy. That if I serve Krishna, then that's the best thing I can do, and everything else is accomplished. Everything else will be achieved. Everything else material, everything else spiritual. That everyone, you never leave that concept behind, that by serving Krishna is the best thing. That's the constitution. That's part of someone's actual swarup, his sthai bhava. It may, different people may have different faith. Mother Jashoda has the faith that, you know, she needs to protect Krishna, and the cowherd boys need have the faith that they're on equal level with Krishna, and his servants, that they should serve him, and the gopis, that they should, you know, give their being to Krishna. But everyone has a common ingredient of faith, and that is that what needs to be done is in their way to actually give everything that they have to him.
Better than reading. When we read, you should read aloud instead of silently.
Prabhupada says that you should read aloud?
No. He says that hearing is better than reading. So I'm just wondering, does that imply when we do read, should we read aloud so we're hearing instead of silently reading?
Well, Prabhupada says, hearing is better because hearing, he's not just referring to speaking aloud. Prabhupada is referring to hearing in the association of others, because when you hear someone else's sound vibration, there's an opportunity for questioning, for response. You're also getting benefit from the realization of others, because that's also incorporated within the sound vibration that hearing is. So hearing refers to the whole process, really, of shravanam kirtanam. It isn't just that you're speaking something aloud is better than hearing it within your mind. That's also true, because it requires less sense control. It controls your senses better, you require less purity of heart to just read aloud. Your tongue is then engaged, your ears are engaged, your mind is engaged. Whereas if you're just reading, then it's the whole function's going on, both the hearing and the chanting is going on within the subtler senses, within the mind, and the gross senses are not equally engaged. But generally, when Prabhupada mentions this thing about hearing, he refers to this whole interactive hearing process, like Srimad Bhagavatam, where someone else speaks and others inquire. And there's a whole dynamic taking place between a speaker and an audience, as in the case of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's much superior to reading, because you get a lot more out of it in the association of others than just by being by yourself. That creates all of these beautiful little flowers, and there's just unlimited variety. It's just amazing how that, and when you think of that, then how's it possible? What is it? How can it just come out of nothing? There's a deep argument for lack of another explanation. It must be an intelligent person, because things don't happen like this by accident. Accidents don't create things like this. Usually the only thing accidents do is destroy things.
was going to ask about some promotion. In the Sutta Vaitita Chintamani, you refer to when a person reaches Ruchi, then he gets more strength from his devotional practices, and he's like a person who's running in water waist deep. So he's not getting the full benefit of the endeavour that he's putting in. He's still struggling against several things that are still there.
Is that about Ruchi, or that example of running waist deep?
Yeah, and I wrote it down because I thought it was unusual that it was referring to Ruchi as being waist deep, because I would have thought by the time Ruchi. But the question I was wondering was, because as you go on and you advance further, then you become less restricted. So somebody who's at the stage of anathanavritti, is he just under the water, right up to his head, and he's making a lot of endeavour, and he's just getting nowhere, or he's getting he's hardly getting anywhere, he's making a lot of endeavour, but because he's so submerged in the material energy, he's hardly getting any.
Of course, examples depends on how you define them and what reference you make, but they can be used differently. But yes, that's anartha-nivritti is you just in terms of it's more about anarthas than it is about spiritual life, whereas ruchi is already more about spiritual life, or at least spiritual life where you're practicing in the mode of goodness, but still you're not running forward at full steam, because there are still certain reactions that are limiting you. And it's only when that real taste matures into attraction. And still, attraction also, because you only get the real Krishna consciousness by Krishna's grace, so you may make as much effort as you want, even in the advanced stage, but you can't break into the spiritual world. That only comes by invitation. So until you get that invitation, you're like that. You're running in even the saktis like that. That's why devotees cry at that stage of Krishna consciousness. They cry because despite their efforts, they're not getting the result of what they want. And if they cry enough, then Krishna lets them in.
Is that like Vipalamba, where you feel separation from the stage?
That's starting to become advanced material, Vipalamba. Vipralamba is something that happens on a spiritual platform. Okay, how about the offering? And the sweet I'll leave for the all day sweet. Just give me the fruit instead. And is the rice butter ready? Okay, let me make this, and then we'll do the Rajbhoga after. Okay.